Y'all bear with me as I go through my ritual here. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's no secret that I'm a big fan of history. I've said that many times up here as I've came up here and spoke several times. I've made it perfectly clear that I'm a real big fan of history. I love to follow the military aspect of history. And I love preaching or teaching, from the Old Testament, because it's history. Well, the whole Bible's history, but I mean the history part of the Bible. The Old Testament, I really love to teach that, and I love to look at the prophets, and how God took common simple men, and he took His word, and He implanted it in these men, and entrusted these men to go and bring this message of salvation, or the message of hope, or the message of what to do or not to do through these people. And I just really like the way that God dealt with man one-on-one. It was God and man. And the messages that He spoke then are true today, aren't they? The same message that Isaiah sent years ago, 2,000 years ago, are still true today. It's still God's word sent to us. So Isaiah, today we're going to look at Isaiah and how important Isaiah was, and the message that Isaiah brought to the children of Israel and how it applies to our life today. Now, Isaiah was a very important prophet in ancient Judah. And now, naturally, Isaiah appears in the book of Isaiah, naturally, but also in 2 Kings. 2 Kings, we see a lot of prophecy fulfilled by Isaiah. But many of Isaiah's prophecies was about Assyria and their threat to Judah. Now, in the time of Isaiah's, I guess you could say, prophet era, that there was some very perilous times in the nation of Israel. There was a lot of things going on that brought grief and brought heartache to the nation of Israel. And the Assyrian army was, first of all, the nation of Israel was divided at that point in time. First mistake, right? That was their very first mistake. Any kingdom divided will. So that was their very first mistake. So that's why, as a group, the message God's given, we need to stay what? We need to stay unified. Because once we divide, the kingdom is in jeopardy. And that's what happened with Israel. They divided. The kingdom was in jeopardy. Their Syrian army was just coming in and taking over kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. And they had done took over the northern part of Israel, which was very powerful. And they had done taken them over. And so the people of Judah, they got together and they said, man, we're going through some, I'm going to paraphrase, we're going through some very perilous times. Let's just surrender. Let's just give up. And by giving up, maybe we can beg and grovel for mercy. And they will show us mercy. And the other half said, no, let's not give up. Let's go to Egypt and let's make an alliance with them. Let's sell ourselves to them. And maybe they will be the ones that will save us. Maybe they can be the ones that will help us through this very difficult time. But God sent Isaiah, and He told him, He said, don't do either one. He said, why would you want to give up? And why do you want man to deliver you from these perilous times? I am your stability. I'm the stability in whatever is going on in your life. And let's see what He told the nation of Israel. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 33. We'll start in verse 6 and five and 6. The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with His justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your time, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this salvation. Now here they are told by Isaiah to put their trust in God, not to surrender and not to look to man for help. He said, I will be your sure foundation. I will be the wisdom that you need. I will be the clear thinking, the knowledge that you need. Now, let's fast forward 2,000 plus years to 2021. If you want to look at perilous times, look at today. Look at all the perilous times that is going on amongst God's people today. What is our stability in all of this? Are we going to give up? Are we going to look to man and make an alliance with man and allow man to maybe save us and maybe man to deliver us from all of these things. Now, if there was any unstable times, naturally we know it's right now, is it? But many of the things that are going on now or have been going on for years is common to man. Let's look what he told Job. In Job chapter 14, it says, mortals, that's us, right? Born of woman, are a few days and full of trouble. So we know that there will always be perilous times. You know, Jesus even told us the poor will be with you always. In other words, outreach is always going to be here. There's always going to be the poor. There's always going to be those that need. That's never going to go away. And so that some of the things that are going on now have been going on for years. Sickness, death, plagues. That's been going on since man sinned, right? So these things that we see are going on now is been going on for many years. But there are some things happening now that are or stable to this time. For example, things that are unstable right now. How about the pandemic that's going on? That's kind of thrown a lifestyle, unbalanced, isn't it? It's not stable, we feel, anymore. The government is so imbalanced and it's not where it should be. And right now, churches are under attack. And I say that with the truth because I know of 5 churches right now without even thinking, without even digging. 5 that I know because I stay in contact with quite a few. Actually, my brother, 4 guys that I went to school with are ministers. And I stay in contact with them. And right now, their churches, among others, are under attack. And I tell them, you know, that's a good thing in a way because Satan's not going to attack you if you're not doing something right. So you're doing something right. But the idea that these churches are under attack because Satan's trying to break down and destroy what is still solid in a sin-filled world. And as these things are coming and these things are unstable, for some people it brings about anxiety and fear, doesn't it? And when we see these things and anxiety and fear seem to take over, others fall into a state of depression when things like this happen. And when they fall into a depression, they usually give up? They surrender? They usually give up. Or they look to something else for help, like alcohol or drugs or some man-made substance to kind of help them see through these difficult times. They think that by doing this, it will give them balance, that it will stable out their lives. But it's not. That's not what does it. And this age, and I've read this recently, that this age that we're living in now, and they considered it since 2018, this age that we're living in now is called, and I'm gonna quote what it said, this is the age of anxiety, fear, and mental unrest. It's unstable, isn't it? And it's sad that this era and this time is called the era of anxiety, fear, and unrest. And I have some friends that work in the counseling and I guess you could say mental health aspect of society. And they told me that there is more unneeded drugs prescribed now than any other time in history. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be because we do have chemical imbalances that need to be balanced out with medication. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that. But they're saying so many people are so unrest and so going through anxiety and fear. And he said what they really need is Jesus. What they really need is something solid to hang on to. But instead they look for something man-made or they give up, they surrender. And he said that's not what they need. They need something to make them stable. And that's Jesus. That's a spiritual, solid spiritual aspect that will keep them solid. But you know, even Christians can be affected by this. You know, by these things that's going on and all the stuff that's happening, Christians can even be affected by this. The common thing is we usually complain, murmur, or become angry, don't we? Because things have been thrown off balance and it brings about this in our life. And for some Christians, it's just a pure state of joylessness. Is that even a word, joylessness? It's just a state of joy. And as Christians, what do we should have? We should be overflowing with what? Joy, but we allow these things to come in and it throws us off balance and we lose joy. And if I was a person looking to be filled spiritually or looking for something spiritually, and I see someone I know that is a Christian that has no joy in their life, I don't want no part of that. You? And so as Christians, we need to find a stability. As churches, we need to find what's stable in our lives. And all these things that are throwing off balance. We need to find a stability. Have you ever noticed that some Christians, through all of this, has not been disturbed at all? Does that amaze you? You know, some of them hasn't even been disturbed at all. Even though they experienced the same things, the same devastation, the same things, somehow they're still able to find joy, peace, and stability in their lives. What do you think the difference is? Why do you think they're able to not look at this? And 2 Timothy tells us for sure, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this one, as Christians, we should have this memorized. It says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The power of the Holy Spirit's always been there, isn't it? See, that's what we need. We forget sometimes. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's always there. It never leaves. Who quenches that Spirit? We do, and we're told not to do it. Because look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, it doesn't say, we need to pray a lot because sometimes the Spirit is weakened. Sometimes the Spirit's not. It doesn't say that, does it? It says the Spirit is always there. You're the one that quenches it. And usually it's with fear, anxiety, and what else? Depression. And instead of renewing that Spirit, what do? We surrender, or we give in to something that's made of man. Or we look to man to strengthen us and bring us through all these things. When that should be the last thing that we do. But Isaiah chapter 33, if that is God speaking, and it's carried on through us today, we need to look for the answer to this, don't we? And the answer is found in Isaiah chapter 33. How do we restore this? How do we rebuild this strength that's in us? So let's look at Isaiah 33, verse 6. It says that he will be the sure foundation for your time. Now think about that, what he's saying, for your time. What does that mean? Whatever time you're going through. If our church is going through a certain time, a certain season, who's the foundation? We all know how important foundations are, right? Without foundations, this building would be leaning. It would crack. It would fall. And when you build something, that's the first thing that you sink the most money into, isn't it? The foundation. Jesus even said a house built on the sand will not last. They had to dig down and find something solid for to build on so it would hold. So whatever time you're going through, he's saying God will be the sure foundation for that time. He said he'll be the rich store of salvation. He will be the rich store of wisdom and of knowledge. But what is the key to this? Fear of the Lord. And we're going to look at that here shortly too. The wisdom and the knowledge that we see through these things, such wisdom and knowledge is the only things that's going to help us be stable in life. But where do we get these things? That's the key. If we know where they are, look where we get them. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. It said, for the Lord gives wisdom, where? From his mouth, right? Where's God's mouth today? Does God not speak to us? He sent Isaiah to tell these people. He sent an Isaiah to tell us the times you're going through, if you're going to stable them out, it has to be through God. Quit looking for something. If we say, and when I come up here, I said, God is good. If he is, why do we look somewhere else? If we agree to that, why do we look other places? If we say that, then we agree to it. God is good, then don't look nowhere else. That's the stability in our life. It said, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. From his mouth comes knowledge and what? Understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasure to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked man, for man's whose words are perverse. See, as disciples, students of God, followers of Christ, whatever we want to call ourselves, we are in a position to learn divine wisdom from Jesus. We are in a position, think about it, as followers of Christ, as Christians, to learn a lot from Christ. Every day we can sit at the feet of who? Every day you can go and sit at the feet of Jesus. Every day you can learn from Jesus. That's called knowledge. Every day we can sit at the feet of Jesus. We have that opportunity. Jesus teaches us how to think straight. In confusing times, when things are confusing and you can't think straight, who teaches you to think straight? He's able to help us to evaluate and discern truth and error, how to develop insight. He will provide comfort and confidence in such horrible times. Look what he tells us in Proverbs 3. I love Proverbs, Book of Wisdom, right? None of us are ever smart enough to think it is. The way this is, we couldn't figure this out in a million years. It says, "My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you and an ornament of grace to your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your feet will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear in what? Sudden times. When sudden things come up, you will have no fear. Or ruin will overtake," it says, or of the ruins that overtake the wicked. "For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared." God will provide the wisdom that we need. Look what James chapter 1 tells us. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "If any of you like wisdom, you should ask God, who gives graciously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." You know the problem? We don't ask. He said, you don't have because you don't ask. We'd rather stumble through life and we'd rather surrender or look to man for the examples that we need. And he said, you need wisdom? Give it to me. I'll give it to you. It may be through situations. It may be through this. It may be through things in life, but he's going to give you the wisdom you need. And I used to tell people in my recovery, they'd say, well, I want to pray for patience tonight. You better watch. Better watch what you ask for, because you're going to be put in a situation that demands you to use patience. You know, but he will give it to you. You know, you just can't go to Walmart and buy a pill, and there it is. You know, but he said, I will give you these things. And the other thing he tells us is the salvation from God gives us peace in time of death. You know, the last 2 weeks, I have officiated funerals for two of the most wonderful people I've ever known. And I did one yesterday. And in both cases, and I can say this from the honest truth, it was peaceful. You know, it's not always like that. But these two, it was peaceful. It was a peace about it. It was a calmness. I don't want to say joy, but it was a good feeling from all of this. What brought that on? They knew where their salvation was, and that's where their salvation was. And through that, that brings us peace. So no matter what happens in this world, and no matter what happens to us, whatever's going on, what army is attacking, what plague is around us, we know that that God will save us in eternity. We know these things will happen. And the key to all of this, if we look back at Isaiah 33 and look at verse 6, he tells us the wisdom and knowledge comes from God. We ask for it, he gives it. He gives us wisdom, he gives us knowledge, he gives us the things we need. But the key to all of this is what? Fear in God. Fear, when we think of fear, we think, well, that's a horrible thing, isn't it? Fear is always related with something not good, is it? It's a horrible thing to live in fear, isn't it? It's horrible to live in fear. But that's not what fear in God is. When the Bible refers to fear of the Lord, it means giving a deeper respect. It means a submission for worship. Now, and I think that's a word, too, that we very much misunderstand, is submission. Because usually when I counsel a couple before they get married, and when I do the marriage ceremony, I always like to bring up Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, where it talks about the wife must submit. What a clause come out. What do you mean? I said, no, wait before we just gets out of hand. You know what the biblical definition for submit is? To voluntarily put yourself under protecting authority of someone you respect and love. That's what it means. So many years ago, Susan put herself under my protecting authority because she respect and love me. So my job is to protect her, not to mistreat her. It is to protect her. And when we submit our lives to God, we put ourselves under God's what? Protecting authority, because we respect and love him. We worship him today because we respect him and love him. And he will, And if we put ourselves under his protecting authority, we have to believe that he will protect us. He has to be the stability that holds us, that protects us, that guides us and leads us where we need to be. You know, and that's, you know, what does Scripture say? My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. And I think sometimes we don't really understand. So the proper fear of the Lord leads to love. I know my dad, my father left many years ago, went home to be with Jesus many years ago. He was my best friend. Even in high school, I could talk to him about anything. You know, he understood, you know. You could talk to him and tell him the things that you couldn't tell nobody, that you normally don't tell a father, you know. And I could talk to him about these things, and he understood, and I respected him, and I loved him. But I knew if I messed up, I knew there was consequences. I knew what I had to do, and I respected him for that. And that's the same way with God. We put ourselves under his protecting authority. Therefore, we tell him the things that we don't tell anybody else. You see, and he leads us and he guides us and he understands. But we know that we don't want to miss out on his blessings and graces. And we know that God will correct us. It's not that my dad did it out of anger. He did it to protect me. He did it to help me and guide me in the right direction. And it's the same thing as we go through life. God will be the stability in our lives that keeps us from going too far down. You know, he's told us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, he said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body." Yeah, in hell. So we have the love and respect for God. Think of all the times in life that God has delivered you from certain things. We forget that so easy. Think about all the times God has brought you out of perilous times. Think of all the times he answered prayers when things seemed hopeless. Like the children of Israel, how quick we forget that. How quick you forget that. And then we become unstable because we look to other things. You know, let the Lord provide us with the stability you need for those troubled times. Ask yourself, what is the stability in your life? Is it man or man-made things? Is it world or is it worldly things? You know, it doesn't matter if it's worldly things or manly things. The stability should be in God. You know, the stability of a church, the stability of this church, and the stability of every church is not of the men that's in there or not the men that will be there. Not the men that's left or the men that will come. By me leaving the stability, I am not the stability of outreach. I'm not the stability at all. The stability is God. He is the stable force in this church. He is the stable force in what leads this church. He is the stable force of what will make outreach prosper. Not me. I ain't that good. I don't know what to do. I ain't that smart. I ain't that strong. I don't have that much knowledge and wisdom. Everything that has been accomplished has been through God. He's what made it stay. Everything that's been accomplished through this church over the years, think about how we grew and the things that's changed and the things that has prospered through this church. It's not from anybody that's here. It's from God. Amen. And when we allow something else to be that stability, it's never going to balance out. It's never going to balance out. We can't depend on that. We have to depend on God. Let's look to him and let your fear be in him. Let your wisdom and your understanding be from him. Just like he sent Isaiah to tell those, the children of Israel, whatever you do, please don't give up. And as a church, whatever you do, please don't give up. As men in this, please don't give up. And please don't. And don't look to something else other than God to be what stables out everything. Don't look to that. Because it's not going to work. You know why? Because it's going to change. Things change. Fashion changes. I bought a phone a couple of years ago. Now they told me it's junk. What you mean? I still got the little clear plastic thing on it. It's not any more good. You know why? That changes. That's not stable. What's stable is Jesus Christ and God. And the way we put our trust, that's never going to change. I'm not going to open this tomorrow and say, oh no, this changed. It's not going to change. The plan of salvation will never change. The words of God will never change. And that has to be the stability in our lives and in this church. Now, this morning, some of us may be having some unstable times in our life. We may need prayer about something that has thrown us or called us to drift. Because you know we have a scripture that says, take heed that you do not drift away. And you know what it takes to drift? Just stop doing what you're doing. Because anybody that's ever been fishing in a boat, you know what it takes to drift? Just stop paddling. And then you'll slowly drift away, and before you know it, you're miles away from where you need to be. You know, that's what we have to do as a church. If we stop, then you're going to drift. We have to steady row. We have to steady fight against the tide. We have to steady fight against the waves. By doing that, we will stay where we need. We will be stable. So this morning, if we have a prayer or a need of anything, if we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, I suggest if you haven't, that you really look into it and do so. If you need to ask for forgiveness of your sin or to invite God back into your life to be the foundation of what you need to do, the opportunity stands. You can come forward and we can pray over you, or we can baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And whatever need that you have can be done now and be done today. So as we stand and Brett leads us in the song of invitation, if you have any need at all, you can go to the back and I will meet you at the back door, and your needs will be filled. Stand.